What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Yanks of the Cop. We are here for 4-0 victory over Wolves, heading into the last Champions League match. I'm your host, Stevie, alongside my brother, Scans, and our main contributor from London, Holmes. And for a massive victory like this, with our entire new layout here, we can only have one guest to bring on. Returning guest, Alex Mansfield. You can find him on Twitter, at @L_Mansfield. What's up, Alex? How are you doing, man? Welcome back.
I'm doing great, man. I'm sorry that you guys had to settle for me, but happy to help Chris in the layout, and more importantly, happy to be able to do it on the back of such an emphatic win, man. That was
love it.
That was some good stuff. Looking forward to talking about that one.
Yeah, I mean, let's get right into it. So let's flip it over, our opening statements for everybody right now. I'm gonna kick us off right now. And what I want to say about this game was, this is the first game all season where I thought this was a champion's performance. You know, The first half was pretty frustrating. We had absolutely no creativity going forwards. But honestly, after the first 20 minutes, when Cody made that mistake, it was all Liverpool all day. We absolutely dominated. And you know what? We still were not crisp going forward. But the main takeaway of this game was against a pretty good Wolves offense. We were compact. We were organized. Great communication. No mistakes. And the clean sheet. That's my opening statement. Andrew, kick us off.
Yeah, well said, Stevie. I just want to say real quick, I mean, I can't give enough accolades to Jordan Henderson and Gini Wijnaldum. I mean, these two have just been absolutely leading the squad in an injury-ravaged season. I mean, look at Gini Wijnaldum. He's had 11 consecutive starts. I saw James Pierce tweet that out for club and country. This guy's an absolute machine. Jordan Henderson, you're seeing him just put in constant – captain's performances for this club. He's always covering for, he always seems to be there covering for somebody, and they're both 30 years old. And you know, these guys are just picking up the slack for the injuries. We're number one in the league, well, we're tied for number one in the league, and we're leading the way in the Champions League as well. So I mean, hats off to these guys. They're getting it done.
Holmes.
Yeah, I think this is the statement win. I said before the game that Liverpool are gonna put a statement win. I'm gonna shut up a lot of our own supporters to keep underrating our squad and overrating our opposition. I've had quite a few arguments with them. It's like, look, we are that good. Like, stop underrating us and overrating opposition. And I think for me, I want to give a shout out to Henderson, no, Fabinho and Matip. Because I think like there's a point where Fabinho nicked the ball before Wijnaldum scored. If he doesn't make that interception and clear the ball away, Wolves equalised 1-1. Mm-hmm. But he cleared it. I just think like them two again, that's another clean sheet. You know, they're not given the respect they deserve in terms of a centre back partnership. You know, that I would say, you know, they've been outstanding, probably up there with the best in Europe as a partnership, you know. Mm-hmm. And the way they always clear the lines, that they're not ruffled by pace, it's just, you know, outstanding from them. So I just want to give a shout out to them too.
Oh yeah. Good, Alex.
Yeah, I think a champion's performance really does hit it on the head. But I think the thing that very often gets lost in all of this is how we've been able to keep the performance levels this high while completely evolving how we play. You know, up until now, the press has been, you know, our primary playmaker. Klopp said it himself. And while the press itself has evolved over the years, with the fixture congestion, with the injuries, we know that that's had to go on the back burner for a bit. We've done it in spells, but that's it. So we've had to rely on being more patient. We've had to rely on being a little bit more opportunistic. And the fact that we've been able to maintain this level of play, despite very, very dramatically changing the blueprint of how we're doing things, is a testament to just how good these guys are. But more importantly, you know, I don't need to tell you guys how many personnel changes we're having to do as well. It's, you know, this is not a group of 11 to 13 players who've played every game together for the past 2 to 3 years. This is a constant revolving door. And to do it against a side like Wolves, who, when, let's not forget, when we've had arguably our strongest 11 the past couple of years, this is a side who's given us trouble. They are incredibly robust. They're incredibly talented. And yeah, that was a very, very impressive performance from the Reds.
Absolutely. And that actually, exactly what you just said, is the perfect leeway right into the rundown. So let's get into the rundown. So first thing to start off with, my opinion, was the starting lineup. Andrew, claps to you, man. You nailed it right on the head with that starting lineup. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and give that right to you. You got clearance to speak first. What do you think?
Yeah, I just didn't think we were primed to start Alexander Arnold. I mean, just with our current injury situation, it seems kind of pointless to do that. If he comes off with an injury in that first half, then we just look like a bunch of idiots. So I'm glad that Nico got the start. I actually think he did a fairly good job, minus that first yellow card incident where he pulled back Neto a little bit. I thought it was a little soft, but overall, you know, he had a nice block on Traore. They definitely targeted him a little bit, and I thought he handled himself pretty well. Obviously, it was great that Henderson, Wijnaldum, Matip were there to cover for him, but, he's definitely starting to mature a little bit, and I think the presence of 2,000 fans probably helped a little bit as well, but yeah, I mean, Robertson, fantastic. The back four, fantastic. Kelleher, I mean, he's definitely earned his spot as the backup goalie, in my opinion. That save off that chip, there's no way that Adrian's getting to that. No way. I can't see him backpedaling. He probably would have stumbled and fell on his ass. But, I mean, just an all-around team performance. You know, we saw the best of Mo Salah. We saw Firmino had a fantastic game, I thought. And, I mean, Mane probably should have had a couple of goals. But, I mean, overall, great performance from him as well.
Well, homie, I want to let you get a chance to get in here because I know you wanted to start Trent at right back, and just like we thought, you know, they did attack Nico. They did attack Nico's side early, and I thought after he got that yellow card, I thought he actually played a lot better after that. It's almost like he got settled into the game, and he was much more disciplined and much more confident in himself. So, what did you think of the choice to not start Trent, but then overall, Nico's pretty solid performance?
Yeah, obviously, I said before the game, I thought Trent should have started because I was worried about our creativity going into this game. And I thought overall the performance from the team was amazing. But I thought in the first half, first 25 minutes, I thought Wolves were on top of us. And plus, I didn't think Wolves really attacked down Nico's side in the first half, even when they got yellow card. I think they were still focusing more on Robbo's side. It was only until the second half when they moved Traore. They start probably attacking in Nico, but then I thought he was outstanding and actually, you know, Traore had to move again to the opposite side because it wasn't working. So I thought, like, my concern obviously just in the first half was the creativity side, feeling that, you know, we were going to struggle to create. And obviously we scored from Connor Cody. Nine times out of ten, he doesn't make that mistake. He headed the ball away. But, you know, it was stupidity from him to not realise. And so I thought, at that point, that's why I thought the creativity. But obviously, when we got that first goal, we just controlled the game afterwards. So for me, Wolves didn't really have much of a sniff after that. You know, they had the other chance where they did a run and stuff, but it wasn't as close as the last time when we played them last season in the 2-1 win or the 2-0 win. So, I thought that your team. You know, Nico did a really accomplished performance today. And I think, like I said, the maturity there is growing in him. And I think that's the good thing we're seeing now, that he actually is passing tests that, you know, maybe after the Brighton game, you're a bit worried, but he's actually passed them now. So I feel a lot more confident now with him after today's performance than I did maybe a couple of games back. And I did think, overall, you know, I was thinking to rest Marnie this game. But he's industrious. You know, I think he's still wasteful in front of goal. And I still think there are times where he needs to be a bit more clinical, which should probably make it a lot more easier for us. But you can't be as industrious. You know, his work rate, the fact that he's always tracking back, you know, and maybe that's something when Jota plays on that side, he doesn't really do yet because he hasn't got the relationship with Andy Robertson yet. But overall, although I want a different formation when I started the game, different lineup, can't really complain. You know, so I'm glad that to be proven wrong.
I want you to get in here because we haven't had you on in a while, and I'm really curious to hear how you think, you know, this team performed today, because obviously it was a pretty slow start, but then by the end of this, I was really surprised, because for me, when I was watching the game, I felt like by the end of the game we were outrunning them, and I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, there are a couple interesting points. The big thing is nobody has a book, nobody has tape on what this Wolves team will look like without Raul Jimenez as the focal point in attack. Mm-hmm. We've all seen how Neto plays. We've all seen Traore. We've all seen Podence. But everything they've done is within the context of Raul Jimenez being the fulcrum of that attack. So nobody has any clue how those three are going to play as an attacking unit without him. And I think that was, the big reason why those first 25 minutes were kind of a feeling out pattern. They're all three of them are incredibly quick. They're dynamic. There's a lot of movement. It's the first time for them, but it was also something that, you know, nobody had seen before, let alone us. And I think it took a little while to understand, okay, once they got to the final third, what were their tendencies going to be? And yeah, you know, Nico got burned early on, but credit to him, he responded really, really well, as he has. And the thing I like from him that we saw midweek and that we saw after that yellow card today, he is incredibly, incredibly fast. And I saw shades in the Brighton game of a little more of the Alberto Moreno school of defending, where he was rash unnecessarily, where he didn't give enough respect to his own ability to recover, to his own recovery pace. And he was lunging in the challenges. And it was the same thing. He was a little bit too aggressive, stepping out. Neto played the ball around him 1-2, and he got caught out. And after that, he was willing to play much more positional defense. And I think that actually suits him incredibly well. And I think it takes a lot of the pressure off him to step in, make those interceptions. You know, it's a thing that I know a lot of people give Van Dijk grief for, but he started ushering the play where he wanted to. And, you know, he was always going to be up against somebody who was tricky, whether it was Neto, whether it was Traore, whether Boateng shifted out wide. He acquitted himself well, and that was great. You know, the other piece of that puzzle, talk about late on, felt like we were running them around. Traore is terrifying, but he's also a 60-minute-a-game player, if not a 30-minute-a-game player. Usually, you know, you've seen him coming off the bench more often than not. And I thought we were really smart in terms of recycling possession and making sure that the bulk of the running he did this game was without the ball, trying to make sure that we could, you know, if the game was still tight late on, he didn't have that energy in his legs. And then as Wahome said, if we need to bring some creativity off the bench, let's say the game's still nil-nil 60 minutes in, we've got Trent on the bench, we've got Naby, we've got the options. And so I think the game plan, once we got comfortable with how we needed to set up, I think it came to fruition really, really nicely. And last little bit, you know, you said Kelleher absolutely deserved to start after midweek. I think you got to argue the same for Nico as well. You know, it's nice to see Klopp rewarding, rewarding starts based on merit. And yeah, I was very impressed with both of them.
So do you start Nico against Midtjylland?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I bring along somebody. I don't know who it'll be from the academy. I probably have Nico play 60. Maybe. This is his third consecutive start now. You know, but yeah, he deserves to be there. And, you know, it's a unique situation, and it's a free shot. You know, there's no pressure, but it's actually one of the few opportunities for him to maybe be one of the senior players out there, which as a 19-year-old who's still being blooded in the first team, that's a pretty unique opportunity. And I think that presents a different kind of challenge, but one I could see him warming to.
Well, that's actually something I wanted to ask you about, Alex, because in my opinion, you know, Nico has played well the last couple of games, but the one trend that I've noticed is that he's had a veteran center back next to him, and he's had a guy like Jordan Henderson next to him. How important do you think is like that is for somebody like Nico? Because I feel like when he hasn't played well, it's when he's had other young guys next to him and not the first team. And when we originally thought he was going to be on the team, as a deputy, we kind of thought that it would be, okay, Nico is spelling Trent with most of the first team around him. So how important do you think that cover is for him?
Oh, it's so vital. It's invaluable. And it's, you know, especially from that positional sense, you know, our back line, we've got, you know, our first choice back line. We go back to, you know, to Virgil, to Gomez, to Rabo, to Trent, what once was.
So long ago.
Yeah, I mean, they are four brilliant individuals, but let's not kid ourselves in the thinking that they defend as four individuals. There's a time and a place where each of them has to rely on individual skill set, but the best defenses are always units. And I think the more Nico can have that voice in his ear to help him function as part of that unit, and like I said, take the pressure off him to make those individual defensive actions, the better it's going to be. And it doesn't mean he's not capable of them. It doesn't mean he's not going to end up in a situation where he does have to do something, where that system is broken. But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. You know, presumably it's likely going to be, you know, Reece Williams, a Billy Kometio. I don't know who else they're looking to bring. Maybe Sepp Vandenberg joins in with that squad for Midtjylland. But now he's one of the senior voices, which is kind of cool to see.
Yeah, I think with Nico, the one thing I'd like to add, I'd like to see more of is more of an attacking output from him, because we saw when he was in the under-21s, he has a great cross in him, on himself. You know, he was, and even for Wales, he's creating chances from the wing. So I think he can do what Robbie's doing in terms of offering that attacking element, getting to the byline and getting those crosses in. So I'd like to see him show more confidence in himself from that point of view, where he is given that attacking outlet, because sometimes it feels like we're predominantly too focused on the left-hand side. And I think, like, if you're playing a much more stronger team, like, we didn't have Trent for Tottenham, for example, that could actually hurt us. Not having both, you know, we need the attacking side on both sides. So I think that's the only thing what I'd like to see from him more of, is to have more confidence in his attacking element and start putting crosses in, because he's got in his locker.
But hey, I want to get to the next biggest thing about this game, and that was the return of the fans, because I thought, even though we only had 2,000, they were absolutely massive today. They were loud. I mean, before the game started, I thought the stands were full of how loud they were. You could clearly hear their songs. They were clearly going loud. And especially for a guy like Bobby Firmino, I think there's no coincidence that this is one of his best games, if not his best game all season, with the crowd coming back. So, Andrew, I want to let you get in here. What did you think of the crowd today, and how big were they as the 12th man?
I mean, I think it was definitely pretty big. You know, and I was listening to the broadcast before the match, you know, You'll Never Walk Alone came on, and, you know, you started singing along, and you forget how powerful that force is at Anfield. And although it was just 2,000, it sounded like, you know, 50,000 or something like that. It was great to see. And hearing that Bobby Firmino song for about 5 minutes during the match, it definitely amped him up a little bit. And then my favorite part actually was probably at the end when we won 4-0. You're just watching the camera following Klopp, and I'm just like, he's gonna do it, he's gonna do it. And he just went with the fist pumps. It was great, man. It's good to see everybody back. Hopefully we can continue to add more once that vaccine becomes available. And hey, maybe it'll be just in time for the Champions League knockout stages. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what did you think of the crowd today?
I thought they're electric. You know, I think you could feel that, you know, Klopp and the players feed off it. But obviously we've proven we don't need the fans to win this year. We've proven that with home and away. But, you know, that 12th man is like part of our history, you know? And so having the fans there, you could feel around the atmosphere was electric, you know, that this is going to, you know, spur the players on. And it just, the singing, you know, there's a big period when they're singing the Bobby Firmino song, and, you know, that just feeds off the players, you know, and then it spurs them on. And I think also, like, you know, it puts doubts in the opposition players, because, you know, they come into a ground where, you know, the fans can push Liverpool to the next level. Yeah. I think that's what it does for us. It takes us to the next level, you know, and it gives us that extra energy just to, you know, if you're feeling tired, get an extra boost of energy because the fans are behind you and pushing you on. So I think it was crucial tonight to have those fans behind us, especially for a big game.
I think a perfect example of what Wahomie just said was when Nico Williams went to, I think he was taking a throw-in or a corner kick in the second half, and, you know, the fans just let him have it. They just gave him a round of applause. And I think he ended up getting the ball back and just crossed it right to the goalie, but they still gave him a clap. And just after everything that he's been through with all the abuse on Twitter and Instagram, he had to black himself out and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure that felt really, really good and definitely gave him some confidence going forward.
Yeah, Alex, what do you think? I mean, especially a guy like Firmino, because I thought Firmino's performance today was absolutely vintage performance out of him. But overall, crowd experience, all of that, what did you think?
Oh, it's just incredible. And, like, you know, like Wahomie was saying, it doesn't matter if it's 2,000. It doesn't matter how many it is. You know, that you can't legislate for just how influential that is, that energy is, and especially for the way that this team plays. And, you know, the way I like thinking about it, you know, if you had an attendance of 2,000 in a regular season at Anfield, it would be depressing. It would be an empty Anfield. But this isn't 2,000 people in an empty Anfield. This is Anfield that's 2,000 people full.
Yeah.
And I think the players and the fans alike know, or hope anyhow, that this is the start of something bigger. And they are a huge part of why that unbeaten run stands at 62. And you know, that the one thing, and I think this kind of circles back to what we talked about in the beginning about being willing to be patient against this team. You can remember during the early Klopp years, but especially under Brendan Rodgers, a lot of nervous energy around Anfield when things weren't quite going right. And it wasn't necessarily the team was losing, but if they were struggling to break somebody down, if they were getting frustrated, that energy was palpable. And it's a thing of the past. Whether the stadium's in capacity or whether it's 2000, there is that tangible sense of belief. And that goes a long way toward, you know, helping this team through those more difficult games. I mean, let's be real. It doesn't matter what kind of class we have. There is no such thing as an easy game in the Premier League. No matter how easy this team makes it look, it's never going to be easy. And so having that extra motivator is massive.
Okay, but just to play devil's advocate, though, we can't afford to keep starting this slow that we are. I mean, it's very clear that we're a second-half team and that we almost see out the first half to kind of just, like, you know, feel out the other team and then the second half go get it. But, like, in my opinion, we cannot continue to afford to play that way, because especially if we make some sort of mistake passing out of the back early on, that could come back to bite us in the ass. And then especially if we give up a goal in the first 5-10 minutes, they're just going to sit in on us. And unless we have Naby or somebody like that or Thiago in the lineup, it's going to be hard for us to break it down. So, I mean, again, it happened again today. The first 20 minutes, I thought it was all Wolves that entire 20 minutes. So I think that was like the third or fourth, maybe even fifth game in a row where we started slow. Is that starting to become a problem for you guys?
Not me. It's not a problem until it becomes one. And the biggest thing I can point to is no team in the past, I think, four seasons has taken more points after going behind than Liverpool.
It's true.
You know, it's not to say it always happens. You know, the City game last year, granted, everybody was still drunk. Aston Villa. Okay. You know, we went down early through a stupid mistake. Yeah. Yeah. But bottom line is that it goes back to the, you know, the title credentials of this team. Like, they go behind, big whoop. It's like I said, it's not a problem until it becomes one for me.
Yeah.
I can see what Alex is saying. And I think, I'd rather not have a slow start with playing the Spurs because of the way Jose's going to set up, you know. But overall, yeah, it's not a major concern long term, because obviously I think a lot of that is down to missing personnel. You know, we've had these slow starts because we've not had a Trent, or, you know, we've not had, you know, a Keita or a Thiago. And I think, you know, those players are designed to help you play the ball faster and keep possession more. And, you know, and obviously without them, of course, it's much more harder, you know, but we keep, you know, finding a way to win. So, you know, obviously just ideally it would be, I think as well, sometimes this fast starts, we've missed chances as well in these games we've been slow. Like against Brighton, we could have had two chances in the first, you know, 25 minutes where we could have scored early, you know. So I think we do create chances as well. So it's just down to us being more clinical would be also help in terms of setting us up. We took an early chance, then it changed the whole aspect of the game. So I don't think it's concerned long-term, and especially the players we have now. I think that slow start now will start to evaporate with the players we've got coming back. So it's not a massive major concern we should be worrying about for the whole season.
You literally just said everything I was going to say. I couldn't say it better myself. I mean, the injury thing, it literally does everything. I think the one thing you have to add, though, is a testament this is to Jurgen Klopp. I mean, how many other teams have gone through this type of injury scenario and still been first in the league and first in their group in the Champions League? It's just, I've even seen rival fans tweeting about it. I mean, yeah, they'll tweet about him complaining about five subs, but at the end of the day, we're top of the league, top of the Champions League group. And I think the Spurs game is actually coming at the perfect time for all the points that Wahomi just mentioned.
Well, there's two guys that we haven't really talked about yet, and I want to give all you guys the opportunity to talk about either one or both of them, and that's Genie Wijnaldum and Curtis Jones, because, again, we've been relying on Genie Wijnaldum so much, and I thought, honestly, I think Genie Wijnaldum is probably our MVP of the season so far. Absolutely fantastic again today. Dominant performance. I was so happy he got the goal. But even Curtis Jones, you know, for a guy who His first couple of performances this year weren't up to snuff, but he's really bounced back, and he's bounced back in a big way. He's playing really well right now, and he's both of those guys, you know, their top performances, in my opinion, are keeping us top of the table right now with Tottenham. So whoever wants to kick it off, these guys deserve some praise. So whoever wants to take it, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm all aboard the Curtis Jones hype train. And I think the thing I've noticed most, buddy.
I love that shit.
You always hear Jurgen Klopp, especially early on when he was trying to instill belief in this team. He talked about the need to be brave. And Curtis Jones, I know, largely out of necessity, when he started integrating into the first team, he kept things simple. He kept things conservative. And that's part of getting up to the speed and the intensity and the pace of that game. But the Curtis Jones of this year is playing with massive, massive balls. And if you watch that kid when he was playing with the under 23s, when he was playing the UEFA Youth League, he went out there knowing he was the best player on the pitch. And he was borderline unplayable. And the speed with which he has embraced that same confidence, and it's not cocky, it's not reckless, but he backs himself. If he gets the ball in a difficult situation, he backs himself to retain possession, not just to play a simple ball back, but he backs himself to buy time to seek out the best possible opportunity to be progressive. And it's just incredible. And again, mature well beyond his years. I hope that as we bring more of the midfield, back into the fold, I hope we can manage his minutes well, because I'm a little bit worried about how much he's playing, but damn, the kid's just on fire right now.
Yeah, I guess I'm just so impressed by, Curtis Jones, Jorginho and all of them, but also Jordan Henderson. I mean, just looking at this game for the three midfields, these three were my man of the match together. I mean, Genie had 98% passing accuracy, Jordan Henderson had 91, Curtis Jones had 95, and just to kind of to piggyback off of what Alex was saying, I mean, Curtis Jones had three tackles. He was involved in 10 ground duels. He won four of them. I mean, like you said, he's just not afraid of anything. I even saw him get stuck in with Traore as well. So I mean, he's not afraid of anybody. He loves to keep the ball. I would like to see him take a few more chances. He has a good shot. I mean, he ripped a shot on goal against Patricio today with a left foot. That was really impressive. I mean, he just took a shot and ripped it. So take some chances, switch the pitch. He has everything in his locker to be successful in that midfield.
Yeah, I think, I'm one of the people going to eat humble pie. Like, I had doubts over Curtis Jones at the beginning of the season. So I'm happy to be eating humble pie. And, I think, I'm happy to eat that pie. I'm happy to eat it because he's been, he has, as the more games he's played, he's actually –
yeah,
getting better and better. I thought he was amazing against Leicester. And I think tonight he was even better than he was against Leicester. And I thought the pass he did to Trent was like an outstanding pass. And I thought that's what a ball. And the vision to see that. And I think overall, like you're saying, like he is become more and more used to our style of play. He's dominant possession. He's comfortable. He's not afraid to drop deep and pick up the ball from the defenders and then pick a pass. He's comfortable under pressure. I think the one thing I'd love with Jones is the fact that, in the under 21s, he was a great goal scorer. He scored loads of goals. Mm. And I think he's got a Frank Lampard in him in terms of like being able to be like a box to box player in terms of scoring loads of goals. So I'd love to see him, if evolution of him making more runs into the box and being the furthest player forward because he's got the locker, and getting more assists. He's got all that there. So I hope that's the next evolution of him, that we start seeing more of him getting goals, because we've seen it before, like him scoring amazing curler goals, so he's got that there. And then obviously, I think like Ronaldo's been outstanding, it's sad his contract situation, but he was, magnificent against today, the way he dominated possession. The goal reminded me of him, Ginny of Holland. And I thought that's the Ginny we love. And then Henderson again, like you're saying, like another captain performance, leading, showing again why he's world class, because he's everywhere. Leading the position, leading the team, pushing us forward. His passing, the pass to for Salah's first goal. He did quite a few good over through balls in the second half as well. You're running out of words to say for Henderson's performance.
Yeah.
I think with them three, there's a good solid foundation platform to move forward.
Yeah.
I have a quick question, actually. Do you guys think that the emergence of Jones is, if you were Naby Keita, would you be looking out for that? Would you be worried about that?
No, because I think they're different players. I think Naby's more of a creator than Jones is, in my opinion, right now. I don't think Naby has any concerns. Naby's biggest concern is staying healthy.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think. Go ahead, Alex. No, I was just gonna say, you know, this kind of dovetails the two. You know, one of the things I forgot to mention that so impresses me about Jones, you talk about, you know, Naby's still kind of on the upward trend, we hope, as far as his Liverpool career. I continually forget that Jones played the bulk of his youth team football as part of the forward line. Spent a little bit of time in midfield, but not a lot. And you look at how demanding our midfield is tactically to be part of, and the maturity he's shown at 19 to step in and play a prominent role in a title defense, play a prominent role in getting this team out of its Champions League group with a game to spare for the first time since he re-entered the competition. Like, it's just fucking incredible. And that is one thing, you know, if I'm Naby, I do look at how quickly this guy's picked up the tactical nuances. You know, bar the West Ham game, I can't think of a midfield. Well, and maybe Ajax, that was a little bit tricky for him. But bar those two games, I can't think of a performance he's put in where the midfield just looked imbalanced. And that was always my worry with him going in there as a guy who played predominantly further forward, and he's just nailed it. And, you know, I think it actually opens up more doors for Naby in the sense that if you need Curtis Jones to step in and play the Jorginho Wijnaldum role instead of being that creator, I think he's shown the tactical nous to do just that. And so I actually think it benefits Naby more than anything else, especially as the fixtures only come thicker and faster.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think with Naby, he's just been unfortunate. You know, when we first bought him, we were looking to play a different style in the 16-17 season, more of a counter-attacking team. You know, him having to stay a year didn't really help him, because then we changed style when he did join to focus more on the wings, the fullback. So I think, like we said, Naby's issues is fitness, you know, because, you know, we had Mari on another lady a few weeks ago, and she was talking about how since Naby started, and he's featured in most of the big games since his time at Liverpool, you know, the statistics, you know, so
yeah,
Klopp does trust him in the big games. It's just always been injury, you know, durability. You know, obviously Jones is taking his chance with Naby out. I think Naby's thing is just staying fit, because it's not about quality, about him being able to be tactical. He's shown that in games against Arsenal, that he's got that. He's building a tactical inside in terms of position. It's just he's never fit, never available. That's always been the issue, you know. So if he can stay fit for even like now for another 3 months, would be a bet with a bonus. You know, that's always been an issue.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, that's what we're just hoping that, like, can he now, you know, because of the bit where he fell down and hurt his back, and I was high in mouth thinking, God, is he injured again? You know, I was like, what? The worst luck. But then obviously when he got out, I was like, phew. So it's just, can he stay fit? That's the thing.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's get the man of the match. So man of the match, I'll kick us off here. The guy I've been leaning with the last couple of weeks, Gini Wijnaldum, much deserving of the goal. He and Henderson were absolutely dominant in the midfield along with Curtis Jones. All in all, I think after the first 20 minutes, he and Henderson locked the game down and completely changed the momentum of the game. So I'm giving it to Gini Wijnaldum. Andrew, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I said it in my opening statements. I thought that Gini Wijnaldum and Jordan Henderson deserved man of the match. They were just absolutely fantastic. They bossed that midfield. They smashed their opponents in there. And I mean, they're the ones who kind of did the dirty work today and won us the game, in my opinion. I mean, I just hope they can continue going forward. 11 consecutive games for Gini is just remarkable. He's gonna really appreciate this 7-day rest.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be different, and I'm gonna go Fabinho, because I think like his performance has been at centre back is underrated. And without him today, he made at least 3 key interceptions that would have led to Wolves coming back. And I think it's underrated again his performance as a centre back. You know, this is a guy who's a midfielder being asked to play centre back. You know, obviously he's got experience playing right back, and he's done that. You know, that's another clean sheet. You know, I've seen rivals saying he's the best centre back in the Premiership right now. I'm like, how can you pass Fabinho? Because that's a clean sheet he's had now against Torreira, Werner, Lewandowski, Vardy, He's not, you know, he's a centre back. You know, and the fact that he's just, the way he's adapted to it, you know, I think it's just, it's impressive. The fact, you know, we are, you know, our title challenge right now is built off him being a centre back.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with any of that, honestly. from any of you three, I think, you know, for me, I give an edge to Wijnaldum just because he did a little bit of everything today. And that's the thing, you know, that the performances of he has that stand out are the ones where, you know, we're in the basketball games, we're in the end-to-end. He's such a good player in transition. And that's where you get a little bit more of that glimpse of Haaland genie. But we didn't come into this game expecting it to be that way. We expected him to be part of more of that, like, functional midfield that a lot of people dread when they see it on the team sheet, where they assume, okay, well, it's, you know, it's Hendo, it's genie. And it used to be Hendo, genie, Fabinho. People would say, all right, well, we're going to bypass our midfield. That's that. And no, I mean, you got a little bit of everything. And God, that shot, that finish. And then to top it all off, the goal celebration directed at Virgil. That just, like, that did it for me. Yeah. A little something. No, I mean, he's just what a guy. And I hope as much as anybody that he chooses to sign a new contract, that we get that extension on him. But if he doesn't, he's done nothing but earn unequivocal respect in my book, and I will back the guy. I will back the guy until the last day he's a Red, and then I will back him from that point forward. He's just incredible.
I completely agree. Like an honorable mention, real quick. Nobody said Mo Salah. I mean, he played really well today. He had a goal and assist. Yeah. He got us going, and hopefully we'll start seeing the best of him going forward.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say honorable mention for Kelleher, because I think, you know, the fact that that's his second clean sheet. That's about now, but clean sheets. You know, Adrian in there, we wouldn't have a clean sheet today. You know, and he made some good saves. Even the last one where it was a near post one, he saved it. You know, and his catching when he came out and was catching the balls from crosses, just relieving the pressure, his distribution. Yeah. I think, like, this kid, you know, if Alisson wasn't fit, I'd feel comfortable playing Kelleher against Tottenham.
Kelleher oozes confidence, and he also, with his feet, is a breath of fresh air. You can see he's comfortable with his left and his right, and I think that's a massive improvement over Adrian. So props to him, and that definitely earned that second spot going forward. But ultimately, that wraps up this episode. Yanks of the Cop. Appreciate all you guys tuning in. Go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already. But Mansfield, thanks for joining us again, man. Always a pleasure. And again, you'll be back.
No, likewise, gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity. It's always fun to talk after a good game like this. So, just keep me in mind anytime we're kicking ass. And if that trend happens to change, then I'll go ahead and set that one out.
Hopefully it doesn't change anytime soon, but hopefully we'll have you back. But everyone else, we appreciate you tuning in. Leave your comments in the comments below. We'll get to them. Otherwise, up the Reds, and we'll be back for the Michigan pregame in a couple days. Cheers, everybody.
Up the Reds.
See you later, boys.